Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for making us a part of your day. Thank you for downloading the podcast wherever you get podcasts. If you are downloading that, please make sure to rate and give us a review on there. We'd really, really appreciate it. Welcome in and thanks for making us a part of your coronavirus, your COVID quarantine, stay at home, however you want to term it as we enter the end of the third week here in the state of Oregon, of where we were instructed to stay home to try and slow the spread of this global pandemic. And it seems like we may have been succeeding. It seems like the spread of this disease throughout the United States appears to be slowing, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we can get a handle on it. And hopefully we'll be able to go back to work soon, be able to get back to a semblance of normal. Although I think that it's going to change. I think that the normal that we're all looking for is going to change. And I think that that's going to not necessarily be a bad thing. I think after 9/11, after when we talk about the financial crisis, when we talk about any of these events that happen throughout our country's history, the new normal exists. It comes, it changes. I think that working from home is going to be a lot more prevalent. I think that we're going to have a lot of different other items that happen. I think it's going to take some time for people to get comfortable going out to the theater, for time for people to get comfortable going to a ball game, sitting in close confines with other people. I think it's going to really take having a vaccine, which I know they're working on, but it usually takes a year to a year and a half to get those started. So I think it's going to take some time till we get back to normal, but interestingly enough, it doesn't appear that the stock market believes the same, at least this week. So folks, if you've been watching the market this week, you know, we had this ginormous downswing in the market to start the year. We had the fastest entrance into a bear market in our market's history. We had, you know, the downswing of the first quarter was just the worst first quarter that we've ever had, I believe. And it was really rough. And we've actually gained back about 50% of those losses so far. And this week, we had the best week that we've had in the history of the market since 2008. Which kind of brings me to my point about the market and the market being forward-looking and not really necessarily pricing in, I think, what are going to be the issues as we come out of this coronavirus pandemic. So if you really think about, we just this week, another 6 million plus people filed for unemployment. That means that we are at 17 million and change folks in the last 3 weeks that have filed for unemployment. And if you do the math, that's a ridiculously high number. It's about 14%. That's the highest number that we've had, you know, since the financial crisis. And actually, the weekly jobless claims, the previous record before the last couple of weeks was 600,000 and change. That's new filings for unemployment, 600,000, and we've gone tenfold twice in a row, 2 weeks in a row, and yet the market went up. If you were watching on Thursday, we had the jobless numbers come in, and the market went up. And a lot of that's due, I think, to the actions that the Fed is taking, the actions that Congress is taking to help support the economy. But I think that there will be a comeuppance, and I know that I'm in the minority of folks that are on the radio probably and folks that are prognosticating, but my crystal ball, which again has been broken quite a few times, but it seems to me that we have priced in, you know, this economic recession that we are obviously a part of when we dropped down and hit those lows, when the Dow dropped actually under 20,000 a couple weeks ago when we hit that March low. And I think that it priced in the low, and we may not go below that. I'm not necessarily calling for doom and gloom on that side, but I have a really strong feeling that we're going to touch those lows again. I think as we look in the coming weeks, in the coming months, it takes time to come out of a bear market, folks. If you look at the history of bear markets, these big sustained rallies, these really fast upswings like we've had this week where Dow itself was up more than 10% just for the week. And there was only 4 trading days this week. That means the market was only open 4 days this week. And yet the Dow Jones returned a little over 10%. Now that's crazy, but the times that that's happened in history, folks, the times that when that happens, when it goes up that fast off of the lows, are what are called bear market rallies. Now, that's just kind of nomenclature. It's kind of silly to call things bear markets and bull markets, other than the nomenclature comes purely from the time and from the percentage gain. So a bull market is defined as if the market has rallied 20% and closes 20% off its low. So the market obviously did that. Both the S&P and the Dow moved into that quote-unquote bull market territory, if you're going to call that, in terms of when they went up 20% from the low. But it happened so fast and without so much of that fundamental knowledge. The market is, generally speaking, it's earnings-driven. So profits and earnings from companies. And a majority of the companies that are publicly traded aren't necessarily reporting their earnings, or they're not putting out forward-looking, what's called forward-looking guidance, because they don't know. If you really think about it, think about all the companies that have been affected by this, all the people that are unemployed, all the lost revenue that they haven't really put out there, and the market hasn't really reacted negatively to that. It's reacted positively because we've had these reductions in cases. We see some positive news flow about the coronavirus, about it maybe peaking in New York, about it peaking in Europe, in Italy and Spain at least, in France maybe having some trouble. But it's hard to know when the reporting comes out of there, or even the reporting here, how many cases there actually are. But I don't think that should really be driving the market as much as it has. And the reality is, when you have these bear markets, they historically last between 8 and 18 months on average, right? So this bear market lasting 2 weeks, 3 weeks, doesn't really seem feasible to me as a long-term bear market. So in the near term, I think we're going to have some more volatility. We're going to have more choppiness. We're going to have ups and downs, and we'll have these big swings in volatility. But if you look at the measurement of volatility, it's called the VIX, and that's VIX. But that's the volatility index tracking, and I've talked about it over the last couple of weeks that it's been coming down. It went the highest it's ever gone since 2008, and it spiked way high, but it's still significantly higher than we'd like to see in order to have a sustained recovery, a sustained market recovery. Now, it's worth noting that the market is not the economy, that the market is different from the economy. It's a price of, you know, that stocks, the companies that are in there inside the stock market, right, when we're talking about that. But it does look forward. It does generally rebound before the economy rebounds. But I don't think we're anywhere near when the economy is going to rebound right now. I think it will. I think we'll have time. But I don't think, you know, things are going to start up right away as much as the bulls would like us to say. They think that the market's going to come straight back up. The big key with these bear market rallies is it can be a really good way to make some money in the short term if you're a trader. There are a lot of folks who are able to make money off these big swings in volatility because they're trading on a day-to-day basis. Now, if you think about all those folks that are making money trading, there's got to be folks that are losing money while trying to trade too, right? So if you're a long-term investor, I wouldn't suggest trying to time these market swings. I wouldn't suggest just getting in now. You see the market has sustained upswing. Now we're buying in. It's a very real possibility that the market's going to go back down. And then you try to get out and you get out at the bottom. I was talking to a lawyer colleague of mine, and he's talking about the investable dollars that he had They invested right in mid-February, whoops, which a lot of people did, but they had the money sitting on the sidelines, decided, okay, now's the time to put it into the market. And they sold most of it, 75% of it they sold when the Dow was down at 21,000. And that was when it had climbed back up, and they thought, that, oh, well, let's just take our, you know, lick our wounds and sit to the sideline. And they missed out on a significant upswing lately. I think that he'll have a chance to buy back in when the Dow gets back down to 21,000, because I think we're going to touch those lows again before we have a sustained upswing. But I could be wrong. But the key is with the market and with your investing in the market is you have to have a long-term strategy, not a short-term strategy. Because I truly believe, folks, that the market, yeah, it's going to dance around, it's going to bounce around, probably touch those lows again. But that doesn't mean that now is the wrong time to buy. Now is the wrong time to buy if you're trying to make money in the short term. But in the long term, if you have companies that you believe are undervalued or that you believe in, it might be a good time to buy some of those. There are names out there that are still discounted significantly. I've used Boeing as an example here on the show because they're a local company. But Boeing is not in financial trouble except for because of this shutdown the government enforced on us. If you look at other companies like Starbucks is in trouble earnings-wise because of the shutdown, because of this virus, not because of something fundamentally wrong with their business practices. This is another issue that's coming up where this market is reacting to a health crisis, to a very real health crisis, and to a government-imposed shutdown. It's not reacting to a financial crisis. It's turning into one because of the government-imposed shutdown. But the Fed is, you know, pulling out the stops. They're spending a lot of money, buying a lot of securities to help prop up the market. And I think in the short term, that's really going to help smooth it out. But in the long term, I think we still have more volatility. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be having some of your money exposed to the stock market. Depending on your particular risk tolerance, depending on your particular appetite for risk, hence the risk tolerance, depending on your timeline and what your goals are for the money, the stock market over time has always been the best driver of wealth. The S&P, on a long-term average, averages in the high single digits, depending on when your timeline is, when you started. If you started in 99 and ended in 2009, you had a negative overall return. But it does return year over year better than any other investable asset out there, including cash, including CDs, including money in your bank. But it also can be going down. And if you're getting close to retirement, if you're approaching the time to need it, it may not be the best time to invest. If you're 35, 36, mid-40s, 25, if you're listening to this and just getting started in your 401k, I don't think you change your strategy. And you can see how people were really hurt, and we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. I've been on several shows, several different radio programs, been interviewed for a couple of things, and they say, well, should we just hide the money under our mattress, or what to do? Should we light it on fire? The more, you know, our 401k is just going down, down, down. And I said specifically, no. Do not panic. Do not get out. Because a lot of people panicked, and they panicked, sold, and got out when the market was down 35%. And they've missed out as the market has climbed back. And now for the year, we're still down, right? The market's still down significantly. So if you got out early and then got back in now, it might go down again. You're trying to time the market. It's not a good thing to try and time the market. You want to have time in the market. That being said, and I continue to harp on this, if this sort of fluctuation is too much for you to handle, if it's causing you to lose sleep at night, if it's causing an ulcer, et cetera, now is the time to reevaluate your risk tolerance, reevaluate your goals and your plans, because maybe having money exposed to the market is not right for you. It's not right for everybody. But if we're talking about your 401k plan that you're not going to touch for 15, 20 years, there has never been a better driver of returns than the overall stock market. And I have to believe historically it's going to come back. It always does. That's what I believe. If you believe it might not, you might have to explore other options. And there's a lot of different options out there. There's a lot of different noise. We're going to talk about some of our plans and how we've pivoted for our clients and some other things that might be applicable to you after we take our quick break here. But if you have a question, if something's been keeping you up at night, if you would like a complimentary review of your portfolio, of your risk allocation, we do that for folks who give us a call, 503-253-3000. Worst case scenario, You sit down with a professional, have an analysis of the risk, the amount of risk that you're taking in the market, and look at that over the long term if that's something that you can handle. A lot of folks right now that I'm seeing and I'm talking to, they thought they were in a lot less risky environment than they are, and it's surprising to find out, and it's sad that it takes a black swan event like this to find out. So if you want to take the time to have somebody take a second look at it, give my office a call or drop me an email, bo@pfgwm.com. Now we'll be right back with more Investing Simplified, so stay with us.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now joining us, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making us a part of your day during this COVID pandemic, this quarantine show. And so one of the things that I've been talking about, and I know that I continue to talk about it over and over and just beat a dead horse about it, is just your risk tolerance and analyzing what your tolerance is for riding this roller coaster that is the market. And if you're comfortable with the roller coaster and you're comfortable with the fluctuations and you're comfortable looking to get those double-digit returns on your investments, then you got to be prepared for these double-digit downswings. You got to be prepared to lose money in the market. The thing about it that's funny about the market, when people say, you know, last year I made 30%. You know, last year the market made 29%. And it really didn't. In 2009, yes, the value, the price of the S&P 500 went up 29%. But unless you sold, unless you took your money out of the market right when it was up at 29, you didn't actually really realize a 29% return. And if you think about it, when you held on, you were in that index fund riding the S&P 500 up, then you rode it all the way down when you rode all the way down so far this year. And then the market started to come back, but it doesn't make your money back. The math doesn't work when you go down 37% and then up 20% and you think, well, I'm only down 17. It's not really how it works, because the math of the 37% was down 37 on a higher number, and then a 20% return to the upside was on a lower number. So if you think about it that way, you have $100,000, 37% downswing, you lost $37,000. So now we have $63,000, and a 20% return on that $63,000, folks, isn't $37,000, right? And it isn't $20,000, which would have been a $20,000 on the 100. A 20% return on the $63,000 is $12,600. So now you have $75,600. Where are we at? So we just talked about the market went down 37%. Then it went up 20%. Are you down 17? No, you're actually down 25, 24, right? It's not that big of a difference, but as you start extrapolating the numbers, it is a lot bigger. And if you look at what happened in 2008, 2009, and what happened when the market went down, it went down and then had these big sustained rallies like we're having right now called bear market rallies. It took a while. It took a year and a half for the market to finally find its bottom. And from peak to trough, you would have lost 54,000 or 54%, 54,000 in that $100,000 portfolio. You lost 54% total. And on average, it takes 3 to 4 years to get back to where you were before. 3 to 4 years to get back to even. That's if you're riding the waves or doing what's called high beta investing. And that's what most advisors out there are trying to get for their clients. They're trying to get the biggest, baddest returns. And they look and a rearward looking, they look in a backcasting is what it's called. Or you'll hear the caveat after all the commercials for any of these investing products, any of these mutual funds that say past performance does not guarantee future results. But they throw that in the fine print, right? The devil's in the details, right? They don't show that in there. It's like when you see these new drugs that are touted to take care of, you know, headaches or take care of this or that, and then they throw in at the very end, you know, the guy talking really fast about all the caveats, you know, this may cause this and that and this and that and the other thing. And sometimes the side effects are even worse than the problem. They're even worse than what you're trying to solve with that particular drug. And the stock market can be kind of the same way if you're looking for these outsized returns. Now, again, that doesn't mean that investing in the market and having money exposed to the market is a bad thing, as long as you're well aware of the consequences of how that's invested. So what we like to do when we build out a plan for folks is that's the big number one thing, is we build out a plan. What is your plan for retirement, or like I like to call it, work optional? How are you going to replace the money that you've been bringing in so far? This has been a good wake-up call as we talk about the jobless claims, the people that are off work, the people that are getting furloughed, sadly, and are having to go on unemployment, and they're finding that unemployment does not help them spend what they need to spend to be able to survive. And if you think about it, you can extrapolate, retirement is kind of like unemployment. It's a chosen unemployment. You're choosing to be unemployed in retirement. And you do have Social Security that is part of the buffer. And maybe you're lucky enough to have a pension. Maybe you're lucky enough to have a company that you worked for that has a really good pension plan that sets you up with a good pension. Or you worked for the government, you worked for the state, and you have PERS. We're going to have our PERS expert here coming on in a couple of weeks as soon as we can get back in the studio to answer PERS questions. But that's one piece of the puzzle. And the thing I've heard, the rule of thumb I've heard, is anywhere from 75 to 85% of your pre-retirement income is what you need to survive. And I don't want to say that's baloney, but I want to say that, you know, there's no real number for anybody. It's all specific to you and to your particular needs. But most of my clients that are in retirement, they end up spending more in retirement than they thought because, you know, you think about every day is a Saturday when you're in retirement, right? You think about how much money do you spend on a Saturday versus on a weekday, and every day is a Saturday when you retire. So a lot of folks are spending more. And you think the one thing that people don't take into account when they're talking about retirement spending and what's going to go up is medical costs. So your medical costs are going to go up over time, particularly if we have a pandemic like this or we have another health scare. But just by the effects of getting older, your medical costs go up over time. So it's helpful to have a plan that shows you exactly where your income is going to come from and exactly the amount of income that's going to get you sustained. Because the hard part is when you're invested in the market and you're relying on the market for your income and it goes down, if we're down 10, even if you're in a conservative portfolio and the market's down 37 and you're only down 10, you're still down 10%. And then if you're taking 5% withdrawals, you're actually down 15 now, right? And a little bit more, really, because you're down 5 from the bigger number. But beside the point, you're down 15. We don't want to compound those withdrawals. So it's really good to have a plan for sustainable retirement income and maybe retirement income that gets bigger as you go on. The idea is to have the knowledge that your income is taken care of, and it can take a lot of that stress away in terms of the market. If you have a plan that you are operating on, now that plan could be we're going to ride out the market volatility. Like I said, we have clients that are younger, that are saving, and that they're looking for this volatility because it's good when you're saving. And those are the folks who aren't worried about the fact that the market's going up, the market's going down. It doesn't really matter because we're not touching the money for 20 or 30 years. But if you're approaching retirement in the next 10, 12, 8 years, something like that, if we're getting close to retirement, now is not the time to be taking excess risk with your money. Because if it takes you 3 or 4 years to get back to even, and you're thinking about pulling the trigger on retirement, we've had stories about people in those target date funds in a 401k, which are great when you're accumulating, but they're not so great when you're withdrawing because they have more risk necessarily than you need. And so that's a big thing why we tell people not to leave your money behind in a 401k account, because there's nothing wrong with 401ks. They're great vehicles. They're a great way to save money and accumulate money, especially if you're getting that free money from work. But imagine yourself in this 401k right now, and if you're working at a company and you're approaching retirement, maybe you're a year, 2 years away, and that company approaches you and says, hey, you know, we're looking at laying people off, but we're, because of this coronavirus epidemic, we're hoping that we can give you a severance or a stipend and get you to retire early. Or if you work at a local company here, Intel's got a great office and a great thing going on, and they've offered early retirement multiple times over the last few years. And if they offer you early retirement, now you're going to start withdrawing money. Do you leave the money in the 401k or do you transfer it somewhere else? Now, there's pros and cons to all of it. There's pros and cons to leaving it there and pros and cons to withdrawing it. My advice almost always, depending on your particular situation, is that you don't want to leave it behind at the 401k because it's not as malleable. It's not as easy to withdraw money. It's not as easy to maneuver. And you also may be exposing yourself to a lot more risk than you want or than you need. And if you can stand that risk, and if you do that risk analysis and find out that that's an okay amount of risk for you to stick with, then great. Let's leave it there. But if you wanted to explore something that can have a sustainable retirement income that can make sure that you're going to have enough money to live for the rest of your life, when we do plans, we plan out for folks to 100, 110 years old. And every time I do that, when I say, hey, we're going to plan out to 100, we're going to plan out, even when I started with 95, I always get folks to say, I'm not going to live that long, right? But we're living longer and longer every year as medical advances go on, and things get more expensive every year. So then you say to me, well, Bo, you're talking about having some safe money in retirement, making sure that I can have safe withdrawals and money in the bank to take those safe withdrawals. And there's the rub right there, money in the bank. And so a lot of folks go to bank accounts or to CDs, which used to be a really great option, right? CDs used to pay you. You could get 12, 13% 25 years ago. Right now, with the Fed artificially lowering interest rates, but even just with traditional, you know, historical interest rates, you're not getting that in a CD. And with things costing more every year, you're just running out of money towards inflation. Folks, my grandfather paid more for his last car than he did for his first house. And so if you compound that with, hey, we've got these retirement funds that are losing money and inflation is going up, stuff is costing more, or you panicked and sold at the bottom and moved it into a CD account or moved it into a bank account and now can't recoup those losses. Now we're just losing money to inflation. It can make for a really stressful time, and it can make it so the point you get to that you have to go and find a retirement job, not because you want to, not because you like being out and interacting with people, but because you need to supplement your income. And so it's really hard to have that conversation with clients, with folks that have had planners that told them they were on a plan, that they were safe, that they were ready to go, and then suddenly that plan goes away. What was it? Mike Tyson said, you know, everyone has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. And I think he said that, but I think somebody probably said it before him. But the idea is, you have a plan, you have to have a plan that's ready to take that punch, that's ready to roll with those punches. And if you want to explore that, if you want to see what that looks like, I'm happy to offer that to our radio listeners. You give us a call, 503-253-3000. Drop me an email, bo, B-O at pfgwm.com. We'll put together that plan for you. We'll give you that risk analysis. We'll tell you where you're at. We'll tell you how you're doing, and we'll tell you what the stress test looks like if we have another coronavirus event. Now, I'm not saying a coronavirus event, but another black swan event like this. We have these pullbacks, they call them corrections, whatever terminology you want to have, or these massive drops in the stock market every 7 to 10 years on average. And if your plan is not set up to handle that, that's a really big problem. So you want to give us a call. You sit down, we do virtual appointments, we can do phone appointments. As soon as we get the go-ahead from the health authorities, we're going to do in-person appointments again. We're happy to sit down with you, spend some time. And worst case scenario, folks, is I'm going to tell you, hey, you're doing everything right. This looks great. You've done everything as well as you can. I wouldn't change a thing. And all that costs you is some time. Take some time out to have that peace of mind. If you knew that you could do that, why wouldn't you? So give our office a call, drop me an email, come and see me virtually, talk to me on the phone. I'd love to chat with you and tell you a little bit about what we do for our clients. And there's never an obligation, folks. There's no cost, no obligation other than your time. So we're going to take another break here, and we'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back into Investing Simplified. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, broadcasting here from Portland, Oregon, and out all throughout the Northwest while we are all in quarantine. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, setting up your portfolio, setting up your plan to reduce that risk, to make sure that you can ensure your long-term success. You can make sure that you can have that long-term sustainable retirement and sort of quarantine the risk, to borrow a term. So we're using quarantine in a positive way. One of the things I wanted to talk about was some positives that are coming out from this quarantine period, from this COVID-19 process, but also some questions that I've had come up regarding the CARES Act and different things that have gone on. One of the things that's worth noting, folks, if you're still contributing to your IRA, if you're thinking about waiting, and a lot of people will wait till April 15th normally, which is coming up here pretty soon, the IRS has pushed back the deadline for contributing to your IRA to July 15th, the same date that you have been pushed back to file your taxes. You can still do it now, but for a 2019 contribution, you actually have until July 15th now to do that contribution. If you're having issues with it, a lot of custodians, I'm sure, are still catching up. So please bear with your investment advisor or your custodian who you work with to get that done. But you do have until July 15th, according to the IRS website. We've also seen some things that have come out because the government has started helping lending and started helping with the PPP program I talked about last week, as well as the SBA forgiveness program. The government has also launched, Treasury has launched buying back programs. They're buying ETFs, they're buying bonds, they're buying treasuries to help increase the liquidity in the market. And I think overall that's a good thing as they try to increase the liquidity to help the markets get through what is going to be a very choppy trading session for the next few months. One of the things I've noticed and I really liked and I really want to point out, and I had a client that I had a conversation with today that I liked what he brought out, is when you're looking at everything that's going on, there's a lot of private companies. There's a lot of really strong private companies that are really giving back. They're looking at, they're donating masks, they're donating ventilators, they're donating a lot of different things. Companies are really stepping up, and you've noticed that they're donating a lot of money. Jack Dorsey, who I think is the Twitter CEO, also has a couple other companies. I think Square is one of his as well, or at least maybe he was with Twitter. I'm not sure his background, but he's a billionaire, so really, you know, woohoo, you know, billionaire giving away money, right? But he's committed to give away almost a third of his net worth. Now, that's over $1 billion that he's committed to giving to COVID-19 relief. You'll see professional athletes are donating their salaries or are donating millions of dollars. And to me, that's a really good thing, and it makes me feel really good to be a part of American society, but to be a part of the human race. And it really points out something that he mentioned that I laughed at, and I told him I was going to steal it and use it on the show. But if you really notice, for those of you who know and listen, I don't get political. I try not to get political on the radio because I just don't think that anybody cares about my opinion. But really, the one thing I think we can all agree on, Democrat, Republican, Independent, wherever you fall on that political spectrum, is that we really shouldn't leave things to the government to fix. If you notice that the government tries and they're, you know, they're throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what spaghetti sticks, to help sit it out. But private companies are really helping out. They're stepping up. We have all these people out there that need the money, and you have this political posturing going on in Congress about we're better than them and they're the ones not looking out and vice versa and back and forth. And really, the people that have really been stepping up have been these private companies that have been volunteering all this help. And to me, that makes me feel really good about where our country's going and about where we'll come out on the other side of this pandemic and where the new normal is going to be. I think that they're making moves. The government's doing, you know, their best, I suppose. But the idea is they're spending a lot of money and throwing a lot of money at the problem. And then now, how, you know, what are we going to do to combat that? How are we going to do that? And I think that's going to end up in higher taxes, which doesn't make me super happy when you think about it. I don't want to pay more taxes. I think that how are they going to pay for this debt is probably going to be taxes, which leads me to talk about retirement funds and saving for retirement in a different way. So you guys have heard me talk about Roth conversions, heard me talk about whether it makes sense to do a traditional IRA, traditional 401k versus a Roth IRA or Roth 401k. And there's, again, pros and cons to each, but the big thing is you want to have diversification in your investments. You hear that all the time where people get diversifiers with real estate, with precious metals, with cash, with bonds, with stocks, different things like that. The reason that a lot of people like mutual funds, they get diversification. You want to have a diversification in your diet, right? If you're working out, you want to have diversification in your workouts so that way you don't get stale. And the same is true for your tax planning and your retirement. You want to have diversification of your tax planning. So you want to have some money that's tax deferred. That's your traditional IRA. So that's the money that you don't pay taxes on now. You get that tax deduction now, and it grows tax deferred. And then when you take the money out, you got to pay taxes on it. Uncle Sam's going to get their piece, right? You also want to have tax-free investments, and those are your Roth investments. Those are investments you pay the taxes on now, and then you put it into the Roth IRA or Roth 401k, and then it grows tax deferred. And then when you withdraw it, as long as it's been open for 5 years and you're over age 59 and a half, you can withdraw that money tax-free. The other bucket is the taxable bucket, right? And so that taxable bucket is your savings accounts, your brokerage account that you have with the Edward Jones agent down the street, the stock account you have over there at E-Trade where you've been playing with the stock money. That's money that you pay as you go. So when you earn money, you have capital gains, you have dividends, you have interest that you've paid taxes on. So you have to pay that as you go or as you cash out. You don't have to pay taxes on the whole balance like you do out of an IRA, but you do have to pay taxes on some versus the Roth. And the reason you want to have tax diversification is you want to have options. You want to have different options to pull funds. You know, when folks, you're working with an advisor, if you're working with our firm, we have clients that will call and say, hey, you know, I need a new roof, because that happens if you're a homeowner, right? You need a new roof. So let's say, Bo, I need, you know, $10,000, $15,000. I need $15,000 to replace my roof. And I say, no problem. We'll get that money out to you. And if they only have an IRA, a traditional IRA, they don't need to take $15,000 out. They got to take $18,000 or $20,000 because we got to pay the taxes. And depending on where your tax bracket falls, you got to pay taxes on it. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You want to have some taxable income, right? Otherwise, you can't use up the standard deduction. You can't use up your charitable deductions and all that sort of stuff. But you don't want to have too much, and you don't want to be not in control of it. So the worst case scenario when we're talking about taxable and tax-free and tax-deferred investments is if you have everything in one bucket, then you've made a binary bet, right? We've made one bet that, you know, those folks that'll say, I want to do everything in a Roth because I think tax rates are going to be higher when I'm in retirement, and they might be. They might not be. You also have the people that say, well, I'm going to put everything in my traditional IRA because I need the deduction now, and I'm making more money than I ever will make, and my tax rate is the highest. And that could be, you know, you might be in a lower tax bracket in retirement in terms of you're in the lowest bracket. But like I mentioned before, as we continue to spend money and spend money as a government, that bill goes up and up, and I'm not really sure how they're going to get the money to pay that off without raising taxes. So your taxes could be higher in retirement. So wouldn't it be nice to have a diversified plan? We want to make sure that we know and we are in control of those taxes rather than letting the government dictate how much money we have to pay them. There's a certain amount that we have to pay them. They get to dictate, right? But if we get to control our income and control how we're taking that income, we can help control the taxes. That's a huge part of your retirement because I know I've said it before, but it's worth repeating again. If you have a $1 million IRA, that's not $1 million for you to spend in retirement. That's $700,000 for you to spend in retirement because we got to give up money to the feds and to the state. Now, if you live across the river in Washington and you don't have state income tax, you say, well, okay, so then that saves you 10% or so, give or take, right? But you still got to pay the feds. And so that money doesn't last nearly as long if you're not in control of the taxation of it. You want to make sure that you are preparing for retirement, preparing for savings, and making sure that these roadblocks that come up, there's all these different things that eat into your retirement savings and your income planning in retirement. There's taxes, there's fees, there's losses in the market, exposure to too much risk. All these other things add up. And over time, you don't have a plan that you thought you did. And so, you know, unfortunately, I've seen so many folks that have come in that have met with a planner, that have gotten a plan done, that just don't have that holistic plan outlaid. They haven't looked at all those different ways that they could be losing. I want to make sure that you can win. We want to make sure that you can win, that you can get that retirement that you've always envisioned. And sometimes that's a hard thing. That's actually the most fun part of my job, and it's the most fun when I'm working with folks is to help them identify what that picture looks like for their puzzle. They got to put the puzzle pieces together, but they need to know what the picture looks like. It can also be stressful when you're talking to a married couple and they come in and talk about one has one idea of what retirement looks like and one has another idea of what retirement looks like. But that's something worth discussing with your spouse. This is a good time to do it, especially if you're stuck at home and you're not able to go out and, you know, do things that you were before. Have a conversation about that. What does retirement look like? This is also a really good chance to prepare for retirement because you're home now. Maybe you're both working normally, but now you're both home spending all this time together. It's a good test for what retirement's going to look like when you both do pull that retirement trigger. So take that time to have that discussion. Once you've come up with that vision, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Be happy to go over what that vision looks like. How do we get you there? Let's build out that plan to get you there. And again, worst case scenario is you walk away with a plan of how to get there, an action plan of this is how we can make this happen. This is how much risk we're exposed to. This is what's going to happen if we do have another black swan event or if we do have another market correction. And I should change that from if to when. And it gives you some peace of mind. So we're happy to do that. We're happy to sit down with you and do a no obligation consultation. We're going to be opening up to in-person meetings again, hopefully soon. I know it's always better to sit down face-to-face with somebody, but worst case is we can do it virtual or do it over the phone. So give us a call, 503-253-3000. We're going to take our last break here, and then we're going to finish up with some other options out there for retirement planning, for your tax planning. If you have a question you'd like me to cover on the show, give us a call at my office number, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you are reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. As we look to close out the show here today, I wanted to answer some questions that were submitted on InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com. As a reminder, if you'd like to submit a question that way, just go to InvestingSimplifiedRadio.com and post it there, and we'll try to get to it as soon as possible. I'm going to respond on the chat, but also wanted to respond here on the show for folks that might be listening. So the question is, I got out of the market before the big drop and plan on retiring soon. A lot of my retirement savings are in short-term bond funds. With the recent interest drop, should I sell those bonds since interest rates will only go up? So unpacking that a little bit, interest rates probably can only go up, right? There's not a whole lot lower they can go. I don't know when that's going to happen. The Fed has made noise that they're not going to raise interest rates or that Fed funds target rate. They're not going to raise that interest rate until they see categorical statistical improvement in both the economy and the market. So I think probably being in those bond funds, you're not going to see the interest rate spike that hurts you coming up right away, but it very well might. And that brings up the question of bonds being safer than stocks, which they are, and short-term bonds are actually a lot safer than long-term bonds as well. For those that don't know, when interest rates go up, the price on bonds goes down. And if you're in bond funds, then you're not just in one specific bond that you're holding on for that coupon. And so a lot of times the bond managers have to sell some of those bonds at a loss. And so when people think bonds are safe, or they think of them as a safe haven, they are safer than stocks and traditionally less volatile in terms of volatility. They're traditionally less volatile than stocks, but they still can lose money. Bonds can go down, and in particular, this particular listener was talking about their bond funds that they have most of their money in as they got out of the market before the drop. They might go down as interest rates go up. There are a lot of good options out there for those bonds, and I'd be happy to sit down with you and talk about some of the options that we're seeing. I wouldn't necessarily think you have to sell them right now, but the question is, in terms of that bond fund, if you're getting a relatively low coupon, if you're not getting a whole lot of interest, then your risk reward ratio, your return for the amount of risk that you're technically taking in that bond may not be great. Now, you have a lower duration because you have a shorter term bond, and so it should move with less fluctuation as interest rates go up, but it might be a good idea to explore other options or bond alternatives that might be out there that still give you that measure of safety, but still participate in some of the upside of the market, but don't, you know, maybe don't lose money when the market goes down or when interest rates go up. The hard part is traditionally people will take those and move them into CDs or other items like that. But when interest rates are as low as they are, you can't get a great rate out there. There are products out there. There are financial options out there, and I'd be happy to chat with you about them. If you give my office a call, we'll sit down and kind of go over some of the things that we're using as bond alternatives right now, because historically, bond prices are still really, really high. Even though bonds have come down a little bit to start the year, they're still really, really high in comparison to historical prices. So it could be a situation where you end up losing money in those bond funds. Doesn't mean you should sell all of them. I think that there's a place for some bonds, some stocks in everyone's portfolio, but it's worth exploring other options or bond alternatives that are out there. One of the economists that I follow, who's a really smart guy, you know, he's Professor Shiller, who, you know, he's a really smart guy that developed the CAPE index. There's a couple other economists that have talked about bond alternatives and just the negative return that's going to maybe be coming on bonds as we went through this whole long, long run up in bonds as interest rates have continued to spike down. That being said, we all thought the interest rates were going to go up. All the economists out there were calling for interest rates to go up over the last couple of years, and they haven't really. So to project what's going to happen to those bond funds, I wouldn't necessarily sell out of all of them, but I might look at trimming some, or I might look at taking a position and moving it to a bond alternative that has a high probability of outperforming bonds over the coming years and as you approach retirement. Kind of segues into, we have another question that's, with record deficits, massive increases due to stimulus plans, I see massive inflation coming down the road. with all the money printed. I agree. I think we're going to definitely have inflation. We're printing money hand over fist, and I think there's going to be a significant amount of inflation that comes from that. So it says, what investment vehicles do you recommend for someone in retirement? So the general caveat is this, you know, applies to your situation individually rather than to other situations. But a lot of times stocks have historically and traditionally been the best inflation hedge, because as things get more expensive, generally speaking, stocks outperform that inflation on the upside. That being said, if you are in retirement and you're worried about how to increase that income, dividend income from stocks only goes so far. And even with companies that have been increasing their dividend and over time increase their dividend, you have to be willing to ride the fluctuation to get those dividends. There are other products out there. So you have basically, you have the safe money product, right? Which is the bank, the banking, you know, your bank accounts, your CDs, your savings accounts, which are paying next to nothing or nil in interest. And then you have your risk money, right? Which is stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And if you're not getting a very big risk premium, which on those short-term bonds, you are not necessarily right now. And if you're worried about what happens with big fluctuations in the market because you're in retirement, the options that are out there generally involve insurance products. And I don't want to make this about, you know, an insurance show. We'll talk about some other insurance options on later shows. But there are insurance products out there that give you that downside protection. Now, you have to give up something, right? You have to give up some of that upside capture. You have to give up something in order to get that downside protection. But they are insured not to lose money, and they have step-ups. They have guaranteed step-ups in your retirement. That's a possibility that may make sense for your situation. It may not. It just depends. And generally speaking, those are in what are called fixed indexed annuities. And you know, the annuity word is a bad word. A lot of people say, ugh, I hate annuities. And I would say, I agree with you. If you're looking at the annuities that Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey talk about being terrible, they are the variable annuities that were oversold and continue to be oversold by brokers out there who are selling those because they need to make a buck. But just like, you know, everything has changed over time. Things have gotten better over time. Index annuities have been developed to have zero or little to no cost, and they have those inflation protection hedges in there. The other option to combat inflation is what's called TIPS. So those are treasury inflation protection securities. So those can have built-in inflation guards in them for you, and they are treasuries, which are traditionally considered the safest asset out there. So there's a lot of different options. And one would include having some money exposed to the market. There are market investments that have downside protection, from things called structured notes. They also have buffered ETFs or buffered unit investment trusts, different things that have guarantees inside of them. And that's a lot of times what people are looking for to beat inflation that is probably coming. I do definitely agree with these massive spending the government is doing is going to cause a lot of inflation, but also to combat the scare behind rising interest rates and the scare of market volatility. There are different options out there that don't necessarily fit what you're looking for, listener, but they are listening. They do fit what other people are looking for, and they may fit in your portfolio as you're listening. It's worth exploring, right? So if you knew there was something out there that is kind of that silver bullet type thing, which there is none. There's no silver bullet. But if there's something that fits, checks off a couple of those boxes, be something good to know about. So if you'd like to learn more about that or learn more about anything that we've talked about today, give my office a call, 503-253-3000. I'd love to sit down with you and talk about any and all things investing, any and all things taxes, any and all things retirement planning. Or you can drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com. As always, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate you guys sticking with us as we try to pump out content that's applicable, that we think makes sense, that we think could help folks. We really are trying to just give back as a community. Also, if you want to have a consultation, like I've said before, give the office a call. If you've been thinking about it, if you've been putting it off, if you knew that you could have prepared for what was happening over the last couple of months and you didn't, wouldn't you wish that you had and that you'd prepared for it beforehand? Again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Please be safe out there. Be kind to each other. Love each other. Thank you so much. God bless y'all. You've been listening to Investing Simplified, and we'll be back next week.
Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called AssetLock. AssetLock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers AssetLock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have AssetLock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get AssetLock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.